And welcome back to this week's episode of This Is America. I'm Ariana.
I'm Kafala.
I'm Gabrielle.
I'm Carmen.
I'm Rosa.
And this week's topic is actually going to be voting. Obviously, we're in our primaries right now. Super Tuesday's coming up, so please be registered to vote and actually vote. So are you guys all registered?
Yes.
Well, it was too late to, you know, get registered if you weren't. So just let you know. Anyways, have you guys voted before?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
For what?
I voted in 2016 in the presidential election.
Ooh. Yeah, I as well.
What did you guys vote for?
Just
I was 17 during the election.
Yeah, I couldn't vote, unfortunately.
You couldn't vote for that one?
No, it was like a month before I turned 18.
Yeah, you're right, actually. You're right. It's wild, man.
Yeah, but I did.
Wait, so you've never voted?
My first time voting was during the midterm election.
Yes. Oh, yes. Midterms. That's okay.
I
you're right.
Midterms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I voted during midterms too, obviously.
I was very happy. They clapped for me when I voted for the first time. Aww. I felt very special.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was at Weatherspoon, and
mine was too.
Okay, did you get there like late? Like, I got there around 5 because of work, and we were in that line, and I didn't get up to like the voting booths until like 7.
And yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah,
like,
no,
that's a real problem. Like, how long you wait in line for voting?
Mm-hmm. No, but like, the thing was, is that
it was outside.
It was the last day to vote, and they closed it at 7.
Oh. So like, if you were in the line, you didn't get to, like, if you were.
If we were in the building, you got to vote, but we don't know if our vote like
counted.
Oh. So anyone who was outside of the building didn't even.
No. Yeah, no. And there was still people outside.
Wow.
And there was a long line.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Really, it was super
and that was
long.
Like on like. November 6th, I think.
Was it electronic or paper?
It was electronic.
Interesting. Ooh, yeah. Where I vote, it's paper. It's very small, kind of old school. So I just think it's interesting because I feel like things can go wrong with paper.
Yeah.
I think things can go wrong with electronic.
I mean, I think
too.
Electronic probably more.
It's Mercury retrograde.
Oh.
That's why. Wow, it's
during
election year. No, well, it's election year right now,
oh,
so
I
we're in
so.
It. No yeah. wonder. And the app wasn't working.
What
for
app?
Iowa.
Oh,
oh
yeah,
no,
it was. It
well,
wasn't.
That's retrograde
right.
for you.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so but actually, now that we're talking about different types of voting, let's talk about a court case.
Oh God.
Ooh.
Oh,
we're talking
Bush
about
v. Gore.
Bush v. Gore.
Bush v. Gore.
Oh,
well.
Okay.
Maybe. I stand by it. I think Gore won it.
We know that
we
he
yeah we
did
Gore.
We know
yeah.
that he did. It's not even like a debate at
yeah.
this point.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good case.
That was
it was.
A good case. I feel like
Dang.
The simplest solution would have been just to recount the entire state of Florida.
Yeah.
Because if they would have done that, then they would have won.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too. Because
wasn't it the whole
case
was like discrimination against
mm-hmm.
voters?
Mm-hmm. They only counted
certain counties.
Certain
so it was
counties.
Like 4 counties
yeah.
in Florida that
yeah.
they voted
yeah.
for. That's
yeah.
right. Yeah. Didn't they like try and recount the votes in Iowa? No, could be wrong.
I don't know.
Just recently or
no, yeah, just recently. Mm. Like they tried to get them recounted because of like the app failing and stuff like that.
Well, I know that they had people working like.
Well, can someone inform me what is the app?
It was like this app that
Pete made, right? Was it Pete?
Yeah, he like gave money towards.
Mm-hmm.
What was the app for?
The app was just to keep count and like I will at least keep track of like all the votes being put in.
Mm.
Oh,
interesting.
But
that
I mean,
is interesting.
It's a little sketch for him to have paid for the app.
Yeah, that is weird. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Be honest with you, I don't like that.
And then he was winning,
yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Seems like a conflict of interest, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm just saying.
So what do you guys think about these candidates?
Bernie's gonna win.
I wouldn't be so certain.
See, I feel like
she said that.
I feel like all of the candidates are like
it's just like the same
everywhere.
Yeah, I feel like it's the same feeling we had during the presidential election. Like we all knew Hillary was gonna win and then Donald Trump won. Like we all think Bernie's gonna win. I think just by like the votes, but then like I don't wanna like get my hopes up.
I did
you know?
Not think that Hillary was gonna win.
I thought
she was.
Well, you were just
I thought she was.
Wait, you mean during the primaries or like the actual like general election?
No,
the actual general election.
Oh, well, yeah, okay then.
I mean,
yeah.
Technically, she won popular.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have the stupid electoral college.
Yeah. Do you think we should keep the electoral college?
I think
it.
It's rigged.
I feel like it's just for older times. Like,
It's literally what
everybody has access to voting now. Like, you know, I don't
well, people have access to voting, but that doesn't mean that they. Just because you have access to it doesn't mean you have access to it. Like, there's plenty of people who don't have a car to get to their polling place.
That's true.
That is.
You know, like, there's so many things that factor into, like, actually getting to your polling place. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people, even though they, like, are registered and can vote now, like, legally, there's no discrimination. Like, there's discrimination in other ways, like, socioeconomic discrimination.
Do you think, discrimination, like, quote unquote. Like, voting days should be, like, holidays. A holiday?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I definitely think
most of,
so.
Like, a lot of people have work.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they, I mean, are you going to, like, quit your job to lose that money to go vote? Probably not.
You know why we have voting day on a Tuesday? It's the most dumbest reason.
They should have it on a Saturday.
It's because on the weekend. Because they would people would
that's okay.
ride into town or leave their places like homes on Fridays or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get into town on Tuesdays on a Tuesday. To vote.
Interesting.
Because of like they didn't have like cars or things like that to immediately get to like their voting places. So they would use horses and it would take longer. And so, like, this is why I hate tradition, because it really messes everything up. It messes it up because it's like, yes, I get why we had to do it on Tuesday, but now we have cars and we have, like, other public transportations to get to places, so it's not necessary for us to continue to have it on
but
Tuesday.
But we have early voting.
Well, that too, yeah, but I still think that, like, Tuesday is such an important thing, like, voting day is such an important thing that it should just be a holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
And not on a weekday.
I mean,
so
I agree.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very inconvenient.
It is.
Like, very.
And then people want to say that there's no such thing as voter suppression.
That's what I was just talking about. Like,
who says that?
Everyone
a lot of people
it.
Say that.
Come see me.
Why?
They just assume that, like, you have the right to get registered on your own. You have the right to vote. So, like, they just assume that people will, like, do it, but they don't factor in, like, every other thing that could stop them.
I get what you're saying. I mean, I think it's, like, with most rights, they're like, oh, it's right there, but do they really apply to everyone, or do they really think of every circumstance?
Yeah.
Because I know that there were some states that were trying to pass something that was, like, you have to have an address and not a PO
box. You might
box.
Need to get a little closer to your mic.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
That it was, like, that they have to have... addresses and not like PO boxes, and that's what a lot of Native Americans have on like reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we did talk about that in another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
It's so messed up.
Yeah, it is.
It makes no sense. Well,
we know why they do.
Yeah, but still.
Do you guys think that we should have voter ID?
Oh yes, I think that I think it should be like the census, where when you turn 18, or sorry, not the census, but like the draft where you turn 18, you're automatically registered as a voter.
I feel like a voter ID
like
is showing your ID when you go to vote to prove that it's you.
Yeah.
Do you think you should have to show some form of identification to prove that I am me to vote? I actually got a thing in the mail about it the other day. Like, we don't have that in North Carolina. You don't have to show an ID to vote. And we got a thing in the mail, and it was like, remember your rights. Like, you don't need an ID to vote.
Yeah.
That's just here.
Yeah.
But a lot of, I mean, it's like a mix. But do you think it should or shouldn't be a requirement?
I mean, what does providing an ID do? Just confirm that you live in the United States? Like, I feel like it
doesn't
provide...
People try to, like, equate it to, like, voter identity, like, voter fraud.
Yeah.
And say, like, oh, well, like, if you don't show your ID, you could be anyone. You could vote multiple times. You could do this and that. And, like...
I feel like that's weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think... I understand why they're doing it.
I mean, how many people are committing fraud?
That's it's really like really low. That's the thing. But a specific group of people argue this.
I wonder who. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, like, I get, like Ariana was saying, like, I get where they're going with it, but is it necessary? Not.
I don't think so.
I understand like the need for it.
Express yourself. I want to know what you're thinking.
Honestly, I think we should have a voter ID, and I think it should be that. Well, okay, so like when you're automatic with the government, when the government automatically registers you as a voter, they can mail you an ID that you can present.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think like one that'd be good to have like as on like a census, and then also to do like for databases, and. Because, like, I feel like, okay, so people in New York, they don't necessarily need a license, so they don't get a license.
That's like mm-hmm. the argument that a lot of people make. They're like, well, we don't have a license, but there are other forms of identification.
Exactly. Yeah. So, if they just had one type of identification for everybody,
mm-hmm.
then I feel like that would be easier than.
Yeah, you can just get an ID card. It doesn't yeah. have to okay, be a driver's wait. License.
I
yeah.
have a question.
But it could be your student ID.
Yeah, well, for certain students.
Yeah.
So you just show it and that's it? Like, they don't run it through anything? They're just making sure that
it's kind of just like, yeah.
So,
like, we don't have it, so, like, we've never experienced it, but you would just be, like, here, like, you pull out your driver's license, they will look at, okay, confirm that it's you, and then, like, I don't know how it is at y'all's polling places, but, like, at mine, they ask for my name and my address, and then they have a book of everyone's.
That's how it was for me.
And then they look it up and blah, blah, blah. So I guess, like, they would look at the ID and then also, like, still do that. I don't know how it would work.
No, they didn't do that for me.
I feel like there's no need for it then if they're not really using it. Like, I mean, I get it, but like at the same time, like, anyone else can get a fake ID.
Yeah,
that's a great
technically
point.
Yeah, so it's kind of like,
I don't know if they actually like scan it, like maybe
see,
they
do. If they were to scan it, then
all
I would understand.
Look at mine.
I'm sure they just probably look at
really
it.
Yeah, if they took mine or not. I just remember giving my name and then my address.
Mm-hmm. Took your what?
My ID.
They shouldn't have.
I'm talking about during the midterms.
They shouldn't. You shouldn't at all. We don't. It's like we don't have voter ID here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they did, I don't know.
I thought that was passed recently.
Yeah.
That
we
are you sure?
I thought that was just passed where you don't have to show your ID, and that's why
they
it's
were
like
just saying that
let's
they
see
can
if
use
we can look
your,
it up.
Your like student IDs to go. To
yeah.
The
let's see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To me, it just seems like another just tactic of voter suppression, just trying to like that. Like you guys said, a specific group of people wanted to prevent other people from voting.
Mm-hmm.
Like. You know, recently convicted felons and stuff like that, how they're trying to prevent them from voting. I guess, like, there was to be some people that want to, like, I guess, vote for them. So they're trying to control that population,
mm-hmm.
which is, I don't agree with. But I do agree that I think we do need some type of voter ID. I just don't like the reasoning that I think that's going on right now, why there is a voter ID.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do y'all think, like, people in prison, like, while they're in, like, jail or prison, should be able to vote?
Actually, just to bring it back for, like, 5 seconds, mm-hmm. I think it did pass last year, actually.
So after the midterms.
Yeah. But I swear, even at midterms, my polling place did not ask me for my ID.
I feel like it really just depends on where.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because technically, it's not, like, required, I don't think. Sometimes they just recommend. I don't know.
Anyways, we can go back to your question.
Yeah, but to your question.
Okay.
Like, although you're in jail for paying your crime, the point of jail is to rehabilitate you to get back into society.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should have the opportunity to vote in jail.
While you're in jail or prison, I don't think you should have the right to vote. But when you come out, like,
yeah.
Why do
but
you
I
think
mean,
they should not be able to vote.
I agree.
I mean, you're in jail. I don't, like, I have very, like, strong feelings about.
But
the prison system
so
in general?
What I feel is, you know, when you commit a crime, you're technically not seen as, like, a moral citizen anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
you did something morally wrong. So that's, I guess, in a way.
But, like,
let me not
think
use
about,
that word,
like, okay, so say if you, like, get out of prison, like, after the election, shouldn't you have, like, a right to, like,
yes,
but I'm saying
when
you get
out, that's when you,
when they're
inside.
Well, yes,
I'm talking about
immediately after
say,
you should get the right to vote.
I'm talking about like it's during election, but when you get out, it'll be like election time. Like they should be able to vote.
Yeah,
I'm
they
saying
should
when you get out.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
As
soon
as you're
in,
out, like when you are in prison, like in your jail cell. No,
mm-hmm.
okay.
I don't
well,
think you should.
Even people on probation can't vote.
I think that's wrong.
But also, like,
I will say that I think that's wrong.
Do we want to give someone who like?
But, like, you can go to prison for nonviolent crime.
That's
yeah,
the thing,
that's
yeah.
Yes.
Like, does it depend on the crime?
I don't think it should because you still did. You're in there for a reason.
What
like,
if you're in there for 30 days?
I mean, you're probably not a felon if you're in there
yeah.
for 30 days.
It's
if you're
not,
a felon, yeah.
See, like, that's where I started. Because I think it's stupid to have it to where someone that's, like, on a drug charge, like, for having a gram on them and not allowing them to vote. That's the most dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Especially in states where it's legal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That is pretty dumb.
Well, they shouldn't even be in prison in the first
exactly,
place.
Exactly, but
it's just legal in those states.
Yeah.
But that's a whole.
That's a whole other. That's
that
a whole other
that really
thing.
Actually really upsets me. Sorry, I feel like I feel it in me because
no,
like
passionate.
Yeah, because that makes no sense.
It doesn't.
You know
yeah.
how many people in California are in jail on drug charges?
You know who put
and
them in there?
They're, And then freaking
you know, that's the real tea.
You know who put him in there?
Exactly. And then put him in there. Those same people now have cannabis restaurants where they're like doing all these cool things with weed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And those people are still in jail.
Yeah.
They need to let all them out, because it doesn't make any sense to me, like, at all. Like, they're wasting.
So when you're in prison, like, when you make bail, do they take taxes out of that?
So you don't. Okay. So if you're in prison, you didn't make your bail. Like, you're there and you're in. Yeah. Like, you have a court, like, you get arrested, whatever, you go to court, you sometimes have the chance to make your bail, sometimes you don't. Like, sometimes the judge doesn't give you a bail, so you can't get out of it. And you have, like, a certain amount of time to make your bail, you pay a portion of your bail, not the whole thing. It's like 10% in North Carolina, I don't know how it is everywhere else. You either make it or you don't, and then from there you go to your hearing, you get charged or you don't, and then you leave if you don't get charged, or you go to jail, prison, whatever. Okay. If you get charged.
Yes.
Okay.
But back to that point. Private prisons profit off of all those people that are inside there for drug charges. And not only that, but just to bring it in, the 13th Amendment says that slavery is illegal, but not in prisons.
And also... Yes.
That really, oh.
Guess what else?
That's what Paula said. Like, prison, like jail is supposed to rehabilitate you, and... It really
not
doesn't.
Private prisons.
But the thing is, too, is that most of the people who are in jail for, like, those petty drug charges, guess what? They're black people. And the people who run these, like, billion, like, million-dollar, like, weed industries, guess what? White. They're literally white.
Because it's, like, I think it's 1 in 3 black men are more likely to go to
prison. The largest population in prison is, high school-educated black men.
Yeah.
Like, that's the largest population group in prison.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where I... It's hard.
It just, you know, ugh. Like, there was this one talk that we went to, and I don't know if you guys remember, it was for extra credit.
But
yes, it was like how
it was. That white identity.
It's the one where it's you're more likely to get pulled over if you're not white.
That's
basically.
A fact.
Yeah.
And it also depends on the neighborhood and
a fact.
And who the cop is, and even sometimes, even if the cop is minority, I guess you can say.
Literally, like, this is like exactly what we talk about in sociology.
This, it blew my mind that it's still like that.
I mean, it's like a virus. It's almost because it's like infested the system entirely now. Because like, yeah, you can't. People will be like, oh, but the cop was black, and.
Yeah,
it's he's still a part of the same system, and he probably still has to deal with the same discrimination within his workplace, and it stems out into constantly being biased and looking for a particular
felon. And the thing is, like, they have to meet quotas.
Literally,
it doesn't matter, like, all, like, it's literally their job to meet that quota every month, every week, whatever it is, and if they don't meet that quota, then guess what? Like, you get... Like, you get in trouble.
Yeah, that's why they say at the end of the month, don't drive fast.
Exactly. No, that's literally a fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you look at it now, they're constantly, like, creating jails. So, like, they're trying to fill in those prisons and jails and stuff like that with people. So, like, charges are just going to keep coming up just to fill those vacancies in the prisons.
That's ridiculous.
You know what? I know we were talking about voting, but let's just keep it on this topic real quick. Because that's another thing, too, that I will say. Like, overcrowding is such a huge issue in prisons. And they continue to, like, fill in, like, the prisons and the jails and things like that. And they don't take into account of the lack of, like, health quality, sanitation. Mm. Like, it's disgusting.
Even guard to, like, prisoner ratio.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand it's a prison and they did something wrong. But, like, there are some decencies that should be given to people in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just, it's disgusting what I hear and like read about, and like it's literally like they're packed in like sardines.
Yeah. Yes, and I feel like they have a disadvantage as well, because sometimes they don't have enough money for a good lawyer, and they just provide a lawyer from the government, and they
thing.
Are overworked.
Those people are so overworked.
They are so
like
overworked.
DAs
they don't have enough time for a case.
Literally have like I would even go as far as to say hundreds of cases at a time. There's no way you can go through hundreds of cases and accurately represent your client.
Mm-hmm. There's just no way.
Like there's no way.
And then they go to jail, not necessarily because, I mean, maybe they did do something wrong, but in a way, like they probably could have gotten out of it if they would have had a good enough lawyer. And obviously the ones who are being targeted, they don't have the money to get a good attorney.
And that's like when you asked the question earlier, like, should they be able to vote while they're in prison? Like, I have such strong feelings about the prison system in general. It's like we would need to like vamp that whole situation.
Close all the private prisons.
Oh man.
Look, okay.
People should not have to like profit off of like other people.
No. It doesn't make any sense. That's messed up. Yeah.
See, this is why I think we're living in like a Black Mirror situation, because like this is just not funny. Like, okay.
Let's just knock this out
while we're talking about it. So like Afal brought up earlier about like rehabilitation. Like, that's supposed to be, like, our number one thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know how there's, like, they have, like, 4, I think, different R words that they use?
I know what you're, like, referencing.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Okay, exactly. So, like, do you understand how little the American system cares about rehabilitation? Like, we don't give a crap. The minute that you see someone's resume and you find out that they're a felon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You immediately throw that resume away. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the thing that's, like, really messed up, is because, like, we keep saying, like, oh, but they've already served their time. Then actually let them come back into society.
They can't have public housing. They can't have food stamps. Yeah. You can't get a job. You can't vote. Like, the list goes on.
And then they go back into prison.
It's literally the cycle of prison.
And I've heard that some of them even want to go back to prison because they don't have to worry about anything. They don't have to worry about getting a job or sustaining themselves. Like, it's
really sad.
Like,
as minimal as their health care is, they still get health care in prison.
Yeah.
Like,
they have food for them.
They don't even have health care.
Exactly. Yeah. The food's not even good in prison, but they'd rather eat that than
deal with the stress.
That's so messed up to me.
Talking to your mic.
And okay, so, I don't know if this is an accurate depiction of what happens in a woman's prison. I've heard that it is, but like watching stuff that happened like Orange is the New Black and not even being able to stomach half the things that happened there, and then actually like reading some of the stories that you see and realizing that stuff actually does happen.
Yeah, dude.
Like the absolute abuse that prison guards put
inmates. It's not even like physical all the time, it's like mental and emotional. You know, and that can like take a serious toll on you.
Yes. And like, no, not like to do any spoilers, I won't say the characters' names, but like, so there was a scene that I remember, like, they were trying to force them to be humiliated. Like, he made one girl eat a mouse.
Like, I don't remember that scene.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys. Do you think solitary confinement is absolutely cruel and an unusual punishment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It breaks you down psychologically.
Have you seen the documentaries? There are literally inmates that like slit their wrists.
Mm-hmm.
To like and like clog up the things so that they can like leave.
But some inmates needed it.
How so?
Yeah, some people use it for like security and like safety reasons.
That's true.
There needs to be something else.
But I think there's a difference in using it as like a I'm trying to protect myself and I'm gonna put you in here to punish you.
Yeah.
For what you did.
Oh yeah.
Because sometimes they use it as a punishment because people. Like,
I mean, all the
they
time.
They know that it's bad and that it breaks you down. Mm. Like.
It's torture.
It's unconstitutional.
And the thing is, like, I would like to, I don't know.
It's a cruel and unusual punishment.
The thing that, I mean, I want to say things, but I don't know, like, what I want to say, how much I want to say. I have a friend, like, a person that I know that's in prison, and they have, like, a lot of felony charges right now, and they were supposed to get out of prison, like, next month, and they... Like, over the past, like, month and a half, I would say, got 5 infractions. Mm. And they were put in solitary confinement. Mm. And, like, the infractions were, like... I mean, obviously, I don't know, like, what they mean there. But to me, as, like, an outside person, it seems, like, pretty, like...
What were the infractions?
Like, one of them was theft of property. Which, okay, I understand. Like, that's pretty serious. And also, that's, like, larceny was one of his charges. So, like... I don't know why you're stealing in the first place. But anyways. And then the other one was, like, disobeying an order... unauthorized leave and like something else. Like, what does that even mean?
Unauthorized leave?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he left his job earlier than he needed to.
But is that like, is leaving your job a minute early like something that I'm gonna put you in a box for?
But did we know it was for a minute?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what the situation was, but is like what
is
justifies
that to be an
infringement?
Is it
exactly.
Is it a buildup of charges that makes you go to solitary confinement, or is just?
I think it could
infraction?
Just be one. Like, I don't know how it works, but I'm sure like there are cases where a lot of cases where it's just one.
I mean,
so
is that true though? Like, that's not me like saying like you're wrong.
No, no, I don't know. That's I'm sure there is, and I'm sure there are other cases where it's not. But I'm just saying, like, what qualifies, like, putting you in there?
I don't think anything qualifies you to be in solitary confinement.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think the rules that they have here now is that it, like, leads up to, like, it has to be a buildup to where you're sent there.
Maybe fights?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Or, like, if you, like, injure someone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But sometimes they're in there for, like, months and years without,
yeah,
like, ever
literally.
Coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Do you think being in a fight, like, causes your mental health, like.
Well, I mean, like, that's...
Sometimes they're put into fights.
I mean, like, maybe a day or, like, a week or
okay,
something.
I don't think a day.
Well, I'm saying, like, who is in solitary... Because, honestly, in my opinion, I think certain people deserve solitary confinement.
Like who?
Like, I think serial killers. Anybody that messes with kids.
I feel like if you're going to
put
me in solitary confinement,
like,
you might as well give me the death penalty. That's
literally
suffering.
Like, every serial killer that's been in prison has been in, like, general population... Like, literally, like, almost all of them. Or, and if they aren't, like, they're, none of them have ever been in solitary.
I feel like they're too smart for that.
And the thing is, like, mm-hmm. even, like, rapists.
Is it,
okay,
wait, okay
they're not
like,
smart. They're not smart, but, like, they
no,
just.
No, well, actually, some, I will give some serial killers are.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not, okay, that's, like, a general statement, though, assuming that none of them have been in solitary.
Well, to say, okay, yeah, not none of them, but the vast majority of them that, like, not all of them go to prison, but the vast majority that have are not put in a box. Like, they're literally just out there roaming around. And the vast majority of rapists and pedophiles are, I mean, I would say almost virtually all are roaming around.
Well, that's
like
what I'm saying. Like, I think people that do certain things
should
like
be in there.
Kids, or
I feel like being
killers.
In the prison is already punishment enough. Like, the like there's
no,
bad
some
conditions.
Some people have fun in there.
Who has
well,
fun in prison?
I don't think we can regulate that. Like, how do you regulate from somebody, like, from having
what is,
fun?
What is the definition of fun in prison?
Well, because you know that there are some people that run it, that they know.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that that's, like,
so,
fun.
Like, okay, so a serial
that's, like, survival.
Killer, I'm not sticking up for a serial killer, but, like, okay, they get charged. They go to prison for life. Mm-hmm. So now they further go through solitary confinement to accomplish what? They're already in prison. Like, they're not coming out.
Something else that I don't understand, we can come back to it. Why do they give people multiple life sentences? If you have one life sentence, you're going to be dead by the end of that sentence. So why give someone, like, 150? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why. That's
really
just, like,
don't.
I don't understand why they do that. It makes no sense. Because, like, funny. You're going to be dead at, like, 70. So why give them, like, 50 more years after?
Dang, you only give them 70? Dang.
No, I'm saying if you die at 70, like, say you have 150 years in prison, you die at 70. Like, what's the point of giving someone a charge like that?
I don't mind.
It doesn't make any sense. Just give them one life charge. You're going to be dead in that lifetime.
No, you don't know that. Because there's a lot of stuff that happens within, like, the justice system where it's, like, they can lessen your sentence. So it's, like, they'll be, like, oh, you had three life sentences? All right, we'll take you down to one.
But it doesn't
you have
make...
good behavior. That doesn't... Look,
I
think
don't know.
The
doesn't make
that
sense to me.
That one life sentence, you'll still be dead.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
You don't
like,
know
you'll
if
be
he
dead
could be that. He could have more good behavior later on.
I feel like y'all are really passionate about this, and we should save this for another discussion. But let's go back on the topic of voting.
Okay.
I understand
okay,
exactly.
This,
I feel like that's a really good conversation.
I love this topic. Because there's so much that needs to be fixed and so much that we need to address.
Yeah.
But let's save it for another.
But I have another question about voting.
Okay.
Do y'all think if you're, like, paying taxes in the United States that you should be able to vote?
Absolutely.
Like,
yes.
Even if you're a non-U.S. citizen. Like, no
question. I am not going to answer that.
What are the facts?
Why
like,
not?
What are, give me the facts.
Actually, I feel like if you're giving our government money, how do you not get a say in
Let's
who
backtrack.
Runs the government?
Because you don't necessarily, okay, so like, are the immigrants staying in the U.S. full time? Like, are they living
yes,
here? They
yes,
are?
Yes.
Okay, like, this is honestly so... This is a stupid answer. But, like, first of all, I think we should make the citizenship test easier so that people don't have to worry about whether or not they can vote and they can actually have a say, like, in the government. Because I think the hugest thing here that why we're even asking this question is because it's so hard for, like, immigrants to actually become citizens of the U.S. So, like, that's why
I mean, no, I understand what you're saying. The citizenship test is hard. Like, there's Americans now that can't take that test.
But I also understand why people would say no to not allowing immigrants to not vote. Because they don't pay. I mean, they pay taxes. They pay sales tax and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people would argue that it's because they don't pay income tax. That's just what I think. I don't agree, but
I feel like if the government gets the profit off of you, like, regardless of what tax it is, you should be able to vote. Like, that's just how I feel.
I just feel like people think that if you don't, and this is so, like, old, but, like, if you don't own land or you don't, if you're not claimed to, like, a country, then you shouldn't have the right to have a say in what happens.
Yeah,
in
that's country. Like, yeah, that's like kind of a traditional view. Because there's many things that we buy in the United States that counts for taxes.
This is why I think that there shouldn't even be a thing about citizenship. Like, I think people should just be able to come and go as they please. Open borders all around.
Ooh,
that's very
unsafe. I don't know about
that. I think that could be unsafe.
Well, here's the thing. I would need to know the facts, like, more of, like statistically, like, what are the facts of the situation to, like, speak on it. But you made me think of something. In Ireland, if you're an Irish citizen living outside of Ireland, if there's, like, a referendum or a vote, like, even if you live outside, you can come back and vote and then, like, go back to whatever country you live in, which I think is really interesting. So, like, a couple years ago,
can Americans do that too? I don't, if they're not living in
U.S. Yeah, like, if you're still an American but you live out of the country, you can come back and vote.
Is that how it is everywhere?
Yeah.
I thought you could do that in the United States.
You're still registered. If you're registered to vote, you're registered.
Or, wait, are they? Hold on. Let me look up exactly what it is.
What you thinking, Rosa? I feel like she has something to say.
I don't really know how to approach this. Because, okay. So, I mean, obviously, like, if you're paying taxes and the government is taking something from you, I think that there should be at least something. I don't know about voting necessarily. I mean, voting could be, like, the least they could possibly do. But, and then again, a lot of people would be like, obviously, they're going to vote against whoever.
Because they think it's right. It's those people that are saying that not immigrants can't vote are saying it's a right.
It's a, you know, it's a what?
That it's a right.
Gabby,
oh, okay. Oh, okay.
You can correct me on this, but I'm not necessarily sure on this. But in Europe, isn't it where, like, if you're part of something, you can vote in different countries?
Yeah, so if you live in Europe, you can vote in, like, if you're, like, a
part of the EU,
yes, you can vote in any EU country.
Wow. So why?
No way. Yeah. I know that.
So I was like, okay, so if it could be crazy possible over there, why can't it be, like, obviously we don't have, like, multiple countries, and you
I
know
think
we're
it's
not
though that, like, those are citizens of a specific country that are a part of the EU and are voting. They're not immigrants.
Yeah, you have to be a citizen of, like, of the EU. Yeah. So, like, if you're a citizen in, like, Italy, you could go to, like, Germany and vote because you're voting for the party and, like, the candidate that's going to represent you in the EU.
It would be, but like, if you're had, like, an American Union.
Yeah.
So where we would include, like, Canada, Central America, Latin America.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, we can vote within all the states.
Yeah. Okay. But if you're, like, a refugee from, like, Libya,
you can't.
No. Okay.
So y'all don't like the idea of people who pay taxes be able to vote?
I don't know. I feel like I'm not educated enough.
I feel like there's a lot of things.
I see what you're saying, Ariana.
Restriction.
It's like, it's, I want to say yes, but I also understand why it's no.
I can see why it's no, because it is a right of an American to be able to vote. I'm not going to take that away. But so at the same time, if the government profits off of you, you should be able to have a voice on, like, how much, like, the government regulates our spending. Like,
okay,
I think that's fair.
I think in this instance, when it comes to immigrants, there's a broken system of citizenship, like, getting your citizenship, and the process is so long, and how many people are actually here on visas and here on green cards, and the whole process is a lot, and they know that they come from countries with nothing on them, and they still make this process, like, stupid expensive for them, knowing that they have nothing. They came here legitimately with their family, trying, a lot of them are over here seeking asylum, and I feel like it's a very touchy subject. I think that the only thing that really makes me mad is the the concentration camps that's happening right now. And I don't think that it should, I don't think that should be a thing, because if it's just history repeating itself, but I guess that's a different topic.
I will say that, like, I would want some certain of my friends to be able to vote that I know that can't vote, just because I know that they would.
Oh, I have a question. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just know that they would. Because, like, okay, so yeah, I think voting is a right, but I think it's a privilege,
yeah,
too. Like, I think it's a privilege to be able to vote,
mm-hmm,
as, like, an American citizen. Just because with, like, with that comes some type of, like, not prestige, but just kind of, like, an honor to be able to, like, do something like that. Because I know a lot of people can. And so, like, I know that if they were able to vote, it would be such, like, a privilege for them, because it's, like,
mm-hmm, they have a say.
Yeah, they have a say, and it's, like, going from where they were to where they are now, it's, like, it'd be great. But again, like, this is, like, so, like, touchy, because, like, I'm also thinking, like, no, maybe they shouldn't. But then again, I think they should. I don't
but
know.
But I have a question. So, like, can you go to school? Can you be, like, a non-U.S. citizen and go to college here?
Yes.
Yeah,
so I feel like private. If you can pay tuition,
well, see that with
you still don't get a vote.
They pay hella more expensive,
yes,
tuition than you do.
They pay like full,
really?
Price.
Yeah, they pay. They pay.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they don't get FAFSA. They don't get, mm-hmm, any type of financial,
oh, that's right,
aid.
That's right.
Oh,
so like they pay out of school that. Tuition, but like to the max.
I did not know that.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, and a lot of people, if they don't have papers or anything, they go to private schools.
Mm-hmm.
But private schools are even more expensive than, yeah, a regular college. So
it's
kind of
fun.
Private school, I got a lot to say about that. That's okay, though. It's a different time.
But, like, that's a good question, Carmen. Because, like, okay, well, then how about to that topic of open borders and
about keeping all of our borders open?
France
for anybody?
And look how...
Okay, when it comes...
I don't know, dude.
I have mixed views.
I have mixed
because
views.
Because there,
yeah,
are...
Here's a question. Is our world as violent as we think it is?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
No. I think it is.
See, no.
I agree, yeah.
I think it is, dude.
I don't. I generally don't. I think we can make assumptions.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's just safety. Would you want anybody to come... It just takes one person to ruin it for everyone. You know,
okay,
what I'm
but
saying?
Sometimes they'd be accepting the wrong people anyways.
Whose fault is that? That's not my fault. You don't get to come here and like mess it up for me because someone else.
It
freaked
sounds
out.
Like wrong, but at the same time, it's just like safety.
Am
we
I
can't
wrong?
Have
like no. I don't think necessarily you're wrong. I just think that the world is a lot harsher than what a lot of people would assume that
absolutely.
It is, and especially since we're so closed off and like we're obviously overseas, so like there's a lot of information that doesn't get through to us.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a fact. Like I don't think
I
we
like
need
the-
to.
I
go
feel
ahead,
like
go ahead.
Right? I keep cutting
no,
y'all
it's
off.
Fine.
I feel like the world can get violent if we do have open borders. Like maybe having closed borders prevents so much violence in the world.
No, I think having closed borders
creates
causes
I don't,
more violence.
I don't know that it causes more.
I think it does because it starts like
why would
it, okay, so it's such a territorial thing. It's such like a man thing to be like, this is mine, I own it, no one else can have it. And then they start having wars because they start thinking that every territory or every piece of land is for them to own. I don't think land is to be owned. Like, I think that's why for Native Americans it worked because they didn't own the land. But, like, the way that the settlers came and they created borders, it caused strife because, like, for Native Americans, they didn't even know those borders
yes.
existed.
That's true, but mm-hmm. I think, like, that would just create anarchy. Like, absolute anarchy. Because everyone would just be coming in saying, okay, well, now this is mine. Like,
yeah,
you can exit
true.
Your house.
Yeah.
But the Native Americans had it in a way where, like, they didn't have borders, but they knew where not to cross.
They knew.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Like,
they knew.
But, like, with France, it's an open border. But so, and people
France
know.
Has so many problems.
That doesn't mean any, but like your question was specifically saying about people overstepping those borders. France has open borders. Nobody oversteps them. Nope. I'm not, besides terrorist attacks, I'm saying no other country surrounding France, they respect its borders. It's still sovereignty because they still But the open borders thing doesn't necessarily mean that they're taking territory. Open borders just but means in other that they places, don't have a citizenship test.
In other places, though, that would not be the case.
I feel like specifically for the United States, it would be bad.
Why?
Because the United States got
because
beef.
People want to come. Yeah, like
we got too much beef for our borders to be open. Mm-hmm. Like, we got enemies on enemies.
But that's because we keep making enemies.
I mean,
but at the end of the day, even though we keep making, like, we have to deal with what it is now. Like, we have enemies. Yeah. So, like, just to protect the safety of our country.
Yeah.
I think there's.
I feel like right now it's
we
not.
We can't have it be open for anyone to just come
in. No, but open borders does not mean that, like, okay. So, like, every time I put something down, it's like, get serious. But, like, I feel like you guys are saying, okay, so yeah, but. To use France as, like, an example, be like, oh, but France always has, like, terrorist attacks. Okay, the United States has terrorist attacks, too, and they're homeland terrorists.
I feel like there'd be more terrorist attacks
than France has other problems besides terrorist attacks that stimulate from people coming in. Like, that's not the only thing that they...
What do you mean, like, a refugee crisis? That they have too many refugees coming in?
Yeah, but they're,
every
like, but
that...
Every
country has that issue. Not every Europe. Country. For the most part, Europe, because of everything that happened with Syria, you'll see that they all have issues with refugees.
It's not just Syria, but, and also not every country has those issues. But, like, those issues stimulate... They cause so many other problems that France can't even handle now.
But I think that that's, like, such an excuse of those states, because it's, like, if we have the resources to help out a member of our community, and if we're all about the spirit of a United Nations and we don't believe that there's some hegemonic power, then we should be able to open our borders and allow people, especially that are refugees and that can't live within their state because they're being killed by their own government, we should allow them to enter. That whole argument that depletes our resources, I can tell you right now, having refugees coming in more than 5,000 that we allow, like, every year, whatever the number is not depleting our resources.
And I'm not saying that.
I feel like
all.
Eventually it will. It will be, like, so overpopulated.
But if there's no quota whatsoever, it would be millions of people.
Exactly.
Like millions on
imagine
millions.
Imagine how many people would come to the United States.
How many people came to the United States during, like, when the Angel Island was open or the Ellis Island?
Millions.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. So it's like we're changing up the narrative and how we did things back then, because it's like, oh, well, you know, it would just be a lot of people to come. Like,
but the thing is, like,
no.
A lot of the people.
So you don't think a lot of people would come to the United States if we opened
our borders?
I think
a lot of people would, but I don't think it would be such an issue that everyone's trying to make it seem like it would be.
I don't think that.
Agree to disagree.
I disagree.
Agree to disagree.
I mean, like, that's what, but, like.
I feel like. We do not by any means need to build a wall. Like, that is the dumbest shit. Like, that is literally so dumb.
Yeah.
But I think there needs to be certain, like precautions and, like, steps and, like, regulations and standards, whatever you want to call it, in place so that people do it in a safe,
but
like, orderly fashion.
You guys are thinking that if we take away if we have open borders and, like, TSA is gone. No, TSA stays. You still get checked into you still have all the regulations and the rules within airports. It's not like you can just bring anything or people.
But there's people who enter that don't enter through airports.
So I feel like that would be just harder to regulate.
Yeah, that would be so. Like, there are plenty of people who come in that don't go through the airport.
Yeah, I mean, travel by sea.
That
I feel like.
So what are you changing then? If you're saying.
Well, what would be beneficial if we did open our borders? Are there certain benefits that would, like.
I feel like open borders theoretically sounds good. If we were to all live in a happy place where everyone could get along. But unfortunately,
unrealistic.
The world's not like that. And I'm not saying that it can't eventually lead up to that. I feel like it will eventually lead up to that. Yeah. But I feel like as of right now, as in the time we're in, I think there's too many controversial.
Like, I'm all for people coming here. Like, the people in Syria, the people in Palestine, for example, mm-hmm. like, they are being treated like, I don't even want to talk about that. Like, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. But, like, I'm all for people coming here. Like, I have no problem with anyone coming here. Like, all of our families would not be here if they didn't come here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I also don't think it can just be, like, absolutely just, like, open, like,
I mean, like,
droves.
Where there is good, there is bad.
Exactly.
Like, I want to hope the best for people who come to the United States.
Exactly.
Who truly want to, like, live a better life.
And that's what the vast majority of people come for.
People coming into the country.
But it's the bad apples that make everyone,
exactly.
like, seem bad.
I feel like with the right regulations, like, if we were to actually, like, come up with a system good enough for us to start having more people come in, it could be possible. But since the system we have now is so broken that it doesn't even make sense that no one, like each year, less and less people are able to come in or even become citizens. You're making it harder. Like, it's like the dumbest. It's like, okay, it's not the dumbest thing. Like, I can see where they're coming from. They're trying to say that most of the people who come here are drug lords, or they're trying to sell drugs, but in reality that's not what's happening at all. Mm-hmm. But they use that fear,
it's
like propaganda. In people.
Yeah, it's propaganda. They make
drastic. But like, okay, it's no offense, but then like you guys being afraid of open borders because you never know who's going to come in is propaganda too.
And I'm not like I acknowledge that. But I think it's more than just like that fear of who's going to come in. Like, there's so many, it's not just like, this is it. This is the reason. There's so many
reasons.
Yeah,
I'm not going to, like, specify on a certain type of person that's going to be bad.
It could be anyone.
Yeah.
It's just open chaos.
I mean, there's Americans now that have, like,
but I think that that's, like, I think that that's where I want to turn the conversation to, where it's, like, it's those assumptions and those types of mindsets where it's, like, we've never seen open borders, so we technically will never know how it's going to happen. And yes, the system is broken, but we continuously blame the system for all the mistakes. But it's like, there's also really bad people in charge, and we technically do have the power to change the system, but we're not doing it. We keep going around in a circle, explaining and pointing out all the problems within it, and we're not actually
actively
solving it. Yeah. Because like, there is really one way to solve the system, and it is, I'm just going to bring it full circle, to vote. But like, that's where I'm saying, like, we've never seen open borders. Yes, more people would be able to come in, and technically we don't know who these people would be, but I still don't think that'd be a bad idea, because we're assuming that with opening our borders, something bad's going to happen.
Okay.
I feel like you always have to prepare for the worst.
I feel like all of this...
I agree, Carmen. I agree.
I feel like all this
get
goes
ready.
Back...
You keep that thing on you.
Stay ready. You don't got to get ready. Damn.
I'm sorry,
I don't know.
No, it's okay. I feel like all this goes back to voting. And voting is like the number one thing where they're like... It's a duty, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like people should look at it as a duty. As Ariana said, it should be a privilege. And I feel like this is very important, because I think people forget that the people have the power, not the government.
Mm-hmm.
The people.
That's a fact.
So, like, I feel like if there's enough people who are willing... Keep in mind, every change that has ever happened is because someone retaliated against the government. Because the people came together and actually made a change.
Mm-hmm.
So if people were to actually... take that initiative, and I know that the government has gotten so much worse, where they have policemen like actively like, you know, like throwing tear gases at them and whatnot, but if you were to get enough people, like all of the people who could possibly be on board with this, the government can't deny it anymore. They can't shut it out. There wouldn't, like, it wouldn't be a question.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this goes back to like, people don't think that they have a say anymore, because mm-hmm. even the government is oppressing us right now. Mm-hmm. Even though they say, honestly, in my opinion, when they do that, when the police come and they start like tear gassing people, that's infringing on the First Amendment right, you know?
I mean, that happened to people during civil rights.
Yeah.
That, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like if we were to just to come together as a whole and actually make something happen, then there would be a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to piggyback on Rosa's point, that was great. Like, I think that's why we have such low voter turnout in like the U.S. because, like you guys were saying, because immigrants aren't allowed to vote, it's kind of, it makes like other populations like, hey, why can't these votes matter when, like Carmen said, we pay taxes, we do all these
mm-hmm.
things for the for this country, but our vote doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't partake in this American tradition. We can't help the government. So like, I think that just will help voter turnout as a whole. So
mm-hmm.
that's why I bring it back to the point. I think that's why immigrants should be allowed to vote.
Yeah.
And like, also to touch on that too, it's like, not just that, but I will say how the Electoral College sways and creates vote or like changes the vote. Cause I mean, we saw that in 2016 with Hillary winning the popular vote and Trump winning the Electoral College. People are going to be like, it's just going to happen again this year. Okay. Maybe it will, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we'll just like stop doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, I always say that we should get another constitutional convention. Who knows? Maybe we need to have, I hate to say it, I don't want to say it out loud. Say it.
So what I'm hearing is
Revolutionary War Part 2.
That's radical.
It is a bit radical.
It is radical, but I'm just saying we keep blaming the system and the government, and no one does anything, and we still have the Electoral College, and it's not like we're in such a slow grind to get things done. And yeah, people are like, oh, but that's just what happens with politics. No, it's because of who we have inside of politics, and no one's willing to get them out of politics, and because the baby boomer generation is so large that they continuously vote for people knowing that they're not
they're
going to be
the largest anymore.
Not anymore, but that still suppresses the minority generation from voting because they've had control for so long, and they're still not willing to get it up.
Yeah.
Give it up. They are in, well, you know what? They can't get it up either. And you know what? Oh my God. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. It's like, look, they haven't been in school for years, but they want to start having a say in what happens with gun control in
schools.
This
is why I have a problem with old politicians.
Are you talking about the age of politicians?
Or I'm talking about how long voters. I'm talking about voters and like boomer voters and who they have in office and who they continue to put in office.
So you're blaming the boomer voters for what's going on right now?
I'm not blaming them, but I think that they're a large part of the reason why we continue to have the people that we have today. Look, they've done a very good job.
There is a huge, like, young generation who does not vote. Like, even during the midterms, like, I would walk around campus and they would say, so it's not just the boomers voting, it's just that we're not voting.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though.
We could totally take over the boomers voting.
We could, but we don't do it because of the suppression from the Electoral College.
Yes, I believe that is, like, an aspect. And but some
also,
people don't vote because
I think it's
they
ignorance
don't believe
too.
In change.
Yeah.
Like, they feel like, okay, we're going through this right now, it's just going to keep happening
over
and over
again.
Well,
that's exactly what I just said, though, where it's the boomers that have had such a say for so long, and they refuse to give up that say, that the younger generation has just lost interest. They're apathetic.
I understand what you're saying. I feel like that is an aspect of why younger voters don't vote. But at the same time, there are people who are young who just don't vote to not vote.
Yeah, I agree with 100%.
I feel like literally I would hear people on campus just saying, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Then that's just your own political knowledge. Like, if you don't go out there and, like, gain information of why it's important to vote, then that's your own fault. I feel like we can't blame boomers for not voting because it is their right to vote as well. But younger voters have to go vote. Like, you have to take out time. You have to, like, make, like, it sucks. Like, having your job suppresses you, but you have to, like, make yourself vote. Like, you have to make your voice heard. Like, then voters don't do that.
But I think I think it's wrong for us to say, like, you have to make yourself, like, go out. You have to go, like, no, we should make it easier for people to be able to vote so where they don't have to, like,
well, this goes back to the point of, like, changing the election day. Put it on a day that's convenient. Make it a national holiday if you want to keep it on
Tuesday.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Whatever.
It's like traditional people that are still in office from the boomer generation that won't change it because, again, it's tradition.
But at the same time, everybody in the United States has a right to vote. If you're 18 and older, you have the right to vote. Boomers, I know they don't have, like, the same problem, like, with jobs and stuff like that. But you have the same resources to go and vote.
I'm not, like, saying that they don't. Yeah, they have the same resources, but we all know. I used to work in, like, a retirement home, and I heard and would listen to what they would say. It was during the 2016 election, too. And I would listen to what they had to say about Hillary and about Trump and how they always were like, oh, I changed solely because of my party, only because of Republicans.
That is another thing.
So we,
like,
keep saying, yeah, like, that's
what do you mean
thing.
Change?
It's like they refuse. Okay,
they refuse to vote for the other party.
They
just
refuse to vote for the other party, and they've been adamant to vote solely Republican.
It's the same thing today.
But that's what I'm saying.
Our generation.
We keep saying though that it's like, well, the millennials.
Well,
they
how
only
would
vote
you
Democrat?
How would you change that from people being so partisan?
I feel
like there's always going to be
ideology
of
partisanship. Like, take away the two-party system.
Yes. Because I feel like that's what...
Why are we holding on to it?
It polarizes.
I mean, we're technically not holding on to anything.
We are, though.
I feel like vote
but
who
we don't
you
have,
want to
like,
win.
We have a two-party system, but there are other parties who... Like, there are other parties out there.
Yeah,
but
I feel like...
we have been two-party system for so long.
Yeah, and they have a lack of knowledge with politics and voting in general.
Yeah.
Like, they think that,
we
oh, it's still Republican and Democrat.
So you're just
going to
vote for whoever's in your party.
Yeah, but in like, I feel like most... people who are majoring in political science or people who just have knowledge within politics most of them would agree that the two-party system is kind of dumb, and it Like, it, in a way, it doesn't really reflect what you really believe in. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just
voting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that just goes back. People just need to go and gain more information. Like, vote who you want to vote, not based on your party.
But I don't think we can blame the boomers for a two-party system.
No.
But
I'm not blaming them for a two-party system. I'm blaming them for the continuation.
I mean, that's our parents' generation too.
Because I mean, they also, it's not grew just boomers with political parties.
I'm very cautious to say it's also like Gen X, because like I see a lot of Gen X speaking out against the two-party system and voting primarily, like they go along with the younger generation.
I feel, let's not make any assumptions. It's not all boomers, and it's not all.
I feel like
we should stray away from it. Like, voting Republican and Democrat, like people just need to go and vote who you think should represent you.
I feel like even politicians change their own morals to accommodate for the party.
Oh, that's true. Elizabeth Warren.
And that is what really makes me mad, because now you don't even know exactly who you're voting for or what their true intentions are. They're not really portraying who they really are, because they're specifically targeting a person.
Like, go see what they voted on when they were in Congress.
What they're registered as, even before.
And this is not me like cheering him on, but this is why I support Bernie, because I look at his track record and I see that he's saying the same exact stuff that he was saying in the 80s.
Yeah, but what has he done?
What do you mean, what has he done? He's done a lot.
Well, tell me.
He's done, and he's gotten bills for the environment and climate change, actually being one of the one of the biggest advocates for climate change. The one for healthcare, he's been able to do healthcare for all. The one with college students, like things with civil rights and minorities, and being able to help the institution of like the infrastructure, like immigrants, how big he speaks and advocates for immigrants and how he's trying to get them rights. I mean, he's been in Senate and he has a track record, and it shows. All of the bills and legislations that he's helped create. Again, this is not me trying to push Bernie on you. I'm just saying why I support him.
Mm-hmm. No, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, when you're voting for a candidate, you need to look at the historical, mm-hmm. what they've done back. Like, what have they done?
And
like,
he
back
never
up what
says
you said.
He's a Democrat. He always says that he is either independent or he's a social Democrat. He's never been one to like, oh, I'm a Democrat and I'm supporting the party. He just knows that he has to be in the Democratic Party to actually get a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, but like you said, like, you actually went out and researched this information. So, like, the onus is on us, because people, like, we have to actually get this knowledge and seek out this information. And are we willing to do that? As, like, our younger generation, are we willing to look past the party lines?
No.
And, like, because as we see it now, like, even though there's a negative connotation of conservatives, it's like, we do it today, like, we make jokes, but, like, that still plays into the, plays into the stigma of saying, oh, vote for whatever party you believe in. Because, like, we do it, too, so.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
I mean, you can still be a conservative and be a Democrat.
Yeah.
There's conservative Democrats.
But, like, that's what I was saying. Like, okay, yeah, the younger generation is not going out there to seek and understand politics, but it's because of how they've seen politics and the length of their lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're only into politics because we're political science majors.
Yeah.
And we're pretty adamant on keeping up. But people that are not, and that I've noticed that, like, well, the justice system, again, there goes another black kid because he had a gram of weed on him that's going to jail for 15 years. Oh, another white kid raped someone and he's only going to go to jail for 3 months on probation. Oh, look, another white conservative man got elected into Congress. And he's talking about, I don't know, something like taking
guns.
Away, yeah, guns, and saying that we shouldn't have restrictions on gun control at all. Like, it's been such a routine thing with our government and like how we've allowed things to continue, because we still continue to allow things that are not right. We allow the medical field to discriminate against black women, thinking that they have a higher pain tolerance and not giving them the enough amount of morphine and pain medication that they need while they're in labor. Again, how we were saying, 1 in 3 black men are more likely to go to jail, and it's like 1 out of 15 white men. It's like the Latina woman makes 54 cents out of a white man's dollar. So, like, we've allowed all these things to happen. And we keep saying we're fighting for it, we're advocating, but we're really not doing anything.
I feel like it's our job as political science majors to make sure that, like, citizens are knowledgeable on.
That's what I was going to say.
I feel like as like, it should be our our responsibility to get people on our campus to go actually research and think. And I don't know if they just don't know how to start research or like, because I mean, when you start researching on a candidate, do you just research who's in your party or like, you know what I'm saying?
That's like, I think it's so optimistic for us to like us five people to sit here and be like, oh, we can like change the whole system, but it takes everyone to get on board
exactly
to make that change. And if people aren't educated, like it, like it's on us. Mm-hmm. Like if we have this knowledge and we don't expand this knowledge to like the masses, mm-hmm. then we are not doing our job.
Yeah. I mean, that's like why me and Dr. Holian got into that argument.
Yeah, no, that made me really mad that day. I was really mad at him.
And yeah, because like, he's just feeding into like the traditional view. Just
and that's why I don't blame boomers for all the problems, but I blame them for continuing that tradition.
But it's our job to break that tradition.
It
you
is.
Know, it's like,
and that's why I was a radical idea such as Revolutionary War. Like we have to. I guess I have to also understand. It's like our country is still young. We're still
we are a young country.
And this is what I say like all the time. Like as bad as it can be, sometimes it could literally be so much worse. Mm-hmm. Like there are countries where people, first of all, they can't vote at all. They don't have a choice to vote. If they have an election, it's not even a real election. You just go and you show up and you cast a vote for someone who it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or you literally like show up to the polls and you get shot. Like it could be so much worse. Mm-hmm. And while I acknowledge that we still have so much room to grow and advance, we are like millions of years ahead mm-hmm. of half the other countries that have been around since like day one.
And yes, that's true. And we should be proud and like that we live in a country that where we can say that. But that shouldn't stop us
or slow
us down from continuing to change. Because it's like, I'm not saying we're going to find and make the perfect system.
Because it could get worse.
We should at least try and do better because we're not doing better.
Yeah. I feel like there's so much more that needs to be done. And like you said, there are many people who have a closed-minded view to this. Like they're not willing to hear anything else or hear anyone else on something that's already established. Mm-hmm. But if we're to be honest, I feel like the system is broken and it's continuing to break. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if we don't do something about it, then will there be chaos?
Anarchy.
Hey, man. If I see you guys revolutionary. We thought World War III was going to happen this year.
We did.
Nah.
That was very exciting to watch.
War part two.
Very exciting.
God.
It wasn't exciting, but it was like interesting to see. Like but how all this could go down. I'm just saying.
This is America.
What?
Oh my God.
Is it time?
No.
It's time to end already?
Well, yeah.
How long?
We usually go way longer than this.
Do you want to go longer?
I mean, we're.
I wanted to go around and like give like an example, like why you think voting is important. In one word.
In one word.
In one word.
Yeah.
Okay, you go first then.
Oh, I feel like I should pick who goes first, and I'm going to say Kafala.
History.
Mm. Ariana's triggered.
I'm going to say one. I have one.
Do you want me to like explain or just?
No, just say it.
Oh, gotcha.
Can you repeat the question? What's the question?
Give one word on why you think voting is important.
I'll go next. Freedom.
Suppression. Take your time, you know. I like freedom. That was a good one.
Voice.
Nice. That was a good one.
Hope.
Mm. Ooh.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Okay. <What's> Man, y'all are funny.
That was a great discussion.
I still want to go. Yeah. I feel like there was so much more to
what
say.
Else do you
I mean,
to say?
I don't know. I mean, like we could go on. I feel
well, that's
like.
Fine. Yeah, we could.
Hey, I have a question though.
Yes.
It's like on like UNCG's campus. You know how like we had that problem with gerrymandering and stuff, like with the lines.
Yeah.
It's like all of UNCG at like one voting spot. I think that's the Kaplan.
I actually got a new place.
Really.
So I was at the Weatherspoon last year.
It was a problem last year.
But now I'm at the EUC.
It was like based on like where you lived on campus, where you voted at. Because, like, if where I voted, like, in Spartan Village was different from where you lived in, like, Reynolds.
Do they do it by, like, what's closest to you, like, convenience? Yeah, well, they moved convenient, me, or they is moved it
me to the EUC now. Because I was at Witherspoon.
Okay. Okay, because they split UNCG and ANT's campus, I think. And I think that was a problem that I read.
Oh, so before, was it our campuses were together? People had, what do you mean?
I don't know what it was before, but I know during the midterms, like, people were so confused where to vote because it was based off, like, where you lived on campus. Oh. And not just all of UNCG.
Interesting. That's why I'm not registered to vote here.
Me neither.
I'm registered here.
Library,
it's just easier.
Yeah, but also, like, I don't live here.
And it's during spring break. So I'll be at home.
Well, I'm staying here for spring break.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think.
Look at Rosa's face.
But, hey, so, like, make sure you guys go out and vote.
Please.
Super Tuesday is the primaries for North Carolina. It's on March 3rd. Mm-hmm. But also, there's early voting happening. Just got to look it up. And we're not going to tell you who to vote for. We're just asking that you do vote.
Also, if you're not registered to vote now,
you can't get registered.
But you can get registered for the upcoming elections in the future.
Period.
The presidential election. If you're not registered, get registered. You can't vote on Super Tuesday, but you can vote for the rest of your life after that.
Yes. Oh, and remember that North Carolina is semi-open, or semi-closed, excuse me. So that means unaffiliated independents can vote for the primaries.
And every vote does matter.
Fact.
Mm, that's true. But next week, I think we were... not next week. Well, yes, next week, actually. Just wanted to make an announcement. We're planning on having a live stream Q&A of This Is America, where you guys, our listeners, will send us questions in, and we will answer them live. So
where do they send the questions?
Yeah.
Instagram.
What Instagram?
We don't have an Instagram.
Well, I was going to use one of ours.
We can make one.
I suggested that, but Ariana said no.
Why? What?
Someone just dropped their Instagram. Doesn't matter.
We could go live.
On what? On someone's Instagram?
All right. Follow me at Ariana A-F-E, Ariana Fe, with an extra A between the...
Just follow me on Carmen Good __.
Okay, that's a lot.
Carmen with a K.
Stop. We're not doing this.
Anyways, this has been great. Thank you guys for this conversation. This has been Ariana.
I'm Carmen.
I'm Gabrielle.
I'm Kfala.
I'm Rosa.
And this has been This Is America.